Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
Are we in peace? We're going to talk about peace a little bit in a series on peace, because so many of us need peace. How come peace is so elusive? How come peace is so hard to hold on to? How come peace is so fragile? Anyone else feel like sometimes you guys are all really distracted. Everyone's looking at these tables. They're like, what's happening? What's coming? I'll get there. I know it's there. I've practiced twice, so you guys are really in for a good one. How come peace is so hard to hold? How come you can have peace, get one text message, and it's gone? You ever had that? You had that today yet? It happens quick. You're feeling good. Life is good. Work is good. Family is good. You get one message, one email, boop, peace is gone. You're feeling good. Day's good. You come around that corner on I-5, you see traffic out of nowhere, peace, gone. Having a good day, family's good. Open up Twitter, peace, gone for sure. How come it's so fragile? How come we can't hold on to it? How come peace runs at the first hint of a problem? At the first whiff of a struggle? It's like something shows up, peace is gone. How come it's so fragile? Let me say it this way. If my Bible, I don't know if your Bible says this, but my Bible says that Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. Does your Bible say that too? It says, not the peace that the world gives, do I give. Not that peace. I give you a different. See, I think many of us are accidentally chasing the wrong peace. Because I don't think Jesus and his peace that he gave you runs at the whiff of an issue. I don't think that the creator of this world, we're talking about the person that invented the sun. He created everything. Like in him, all of it's held together. And we're saying that that guy, he creates the galaxies, but the peace that he gives runs from a bad text? And yet that's what most of us struggle with. I'm not mad at you. I'm talking to myself right now. This is a message for me. You're just going to listen. That's not what he wants to give us. I don't think that's the peace he gives. And yet so many of us are living day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, trying to find a peace that will last more than a week. And so we go from a relationship, and we go to alcohol, and we go to weed and gummies and a new job and a new church. And you're like, that guy's not good anymore. The revelation's changed. The grace is lifted. God moved me. Come on, somebody. I got a new job and I got a new car and I need a bigger TV, and I gotta just find a new show to binge, and we're going from thing to thing to thing to thing. And if only this person was president, if only this happened, only if we cared more about this, and how many things have to change for your peace to endure? God says, how much has to work in your favor personally for peace to last for you? I think we're chasing the wrong peace. I think we're relying on the wrong peace. Because if peace comes from Jesus, and he says, not the peace the world gives, if something of this world gave you the peace that you're after, then that can take it away. So if that relationship gave you peace, that relationship could steal your peace. And if that bottle gave you peace, that bottle could take your peace. And if that job gave you peace, the job could take peace. And if politics gave you peace, politics can take. See, and so if we're looking for peace the way this world has to give, then the world will give it and take it. And that's not the peace that we were created to live with. Can I be as bold to say that not only does Jesus want you to have peace, he needs you to have peace. You go, make sense of that, preacher. Why does he need me? No, Jesus doesn't just want you to have peace. He needs you to have it. And here's why. Because you were created to be a city set on a hill. You were created to be the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And if you don't have peace in struggles, what do you have to give people? See, too many of us look like the world. And we find our peace the same place as the world finds it. And Jesus is like, no, I need you to have my peace so that when you do go through a storm and when you do go through a struggle and when you do hear it's cancer and you hear your child struggling and you hear economies down and you hear inflation's up and you hear eggs cost more and you hear all of this crazy stuff that the world's trying to make you focus on, you can say, I can go through that with peace. It's not going to take my peace because it's not what gave me peace. I got my peace from Jesus, and if he was able to hold on to his peace through a cross, I could hold on to my peace through this economy. I could hold on to my peace through this struggle. I could hold on to my peace in the midst of traffic. Come on, somebody, give me a witness up in here. Even traffic ain't stealing my peace no more. Can I get real for a second? How many of you guys lose peace when your team loses? Some of the wives, amen. They're like, oh, preach now. Go there. Yes, 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 yes. Y'all, I remember when I worked at a church in the South for a season, and they are so into college football. We're more of a pro football, pro sports city. But that call, yo, an 18-year-old young man can lose a game and men lose their minds. He is throwing a piece of leather through the air. He's 19. He lost. And you lose your crap. Put the right one in there, just in your head. Think that I said it. Just lose it. Mad at your kids, sideways with your wife. You're frustrated all week. I remember the church I worked at in the South. Like, if that team lost, half the church would be gone the next Sunday. Lose on Saturday, no one coming on Sunday. I thought it'd be the opposite. I think you clearly need Jesus. It should be bursting at the seams. But no, depressed, drunk, hungover, angry. They're like, honestly, it's better they're not here. It's really bad when they're around right now. You don't want to be around. How come we can lose our peace when boys lose a game? Because you find peace in the wrong place. We are looking for peace in places that don't actually offer it. You get a little feel good for a weekend because your team won. You get a little feel good for a weekend because you got a new shirt. You feel good for the weekend because you got a new bag. You feel good for the month because you got a raise. You feel good for a season because the person you voted for won. And all of a sudden, a year in, you realize that really politics aren't the answer. Now you're depressed again. See, you're looking for peace in the wrong place. And if Jesus, the creator of the world, offers you peace, it should be something that can endure a bad text message. So you're like, okay, where is this? Where is the peace that I need? Because if I was created, if Jesus needs me to have his peace, how do I get it? Here, go with me to Isaiah 26:3. Says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Other translations say set. You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed or is set on you because he trusts in you. You will keep in perfect peace. It does not say you will dabble in peace. You will occasionally have peace. It doesn't say you'll have peace if you're born to the right family. Doesn't say you'll have peace if you're born in the right time in history or the right nation currently. You won't have peace if you voted for the right politician. You won't have peace if you make enough money. It says he will keep you in peace if your mind is set, if your mind is stayed, if your mind is established on him. See, too many of us are setting our minds on the wrong things, so we keep losing our peace. You think peace is coming from that right relationship. You think peace is coming from your income. You think peace is coming from a bigger house. You think peace is coming from obedient kids. Come on, somebody, I would take it, but that's still not where it's coming from. Peace isn't coming from there. Peace comes because Jesus keeps me in peace. It didn't say peace comes when there's no storms. Peace comes when you're perfectly healthy. Peace comes when everyone likes you. No, it says he keeps me in peace, which means no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm overcoming, no matter what I'm enduring, if I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I still got peace. Peace. If I'm in a victory season, I still got peace. If I'm struggling, I still can have peace. If I'm walking on my healing, I can still have peace. He keeps me regardless of where I'm at or what I'm going through. See, some of us looking for peace in the wrong place, and where we're looking does not offer what we're looking for. He keeps me. I hope that this doesn't seem too silly, but when I read the Bible, I see it in pictures. When I read it, I just see stuff. And when I read that, he'll keep me in perfect peace when my mind is set. I stole my kid's squishy. It's kind of a weird brain. Actually, it even opens. The frontal lobe. Can't even read the rest of this. Well, back to my illustration. I got my brain, got my mind. Where do I set this? Where is your mind set? Where do you place your mind? Many of us, can we be honest? Can we be honest in church for a minute? Your mind lives in your desires. It's what you want. You're thinking about that new, what? Shopping? That new Amazon order? Lunch today? Come on, somebody. Who's thinking about lunch already? How many of y'all think about the next meal while eating the current meal? I hope my wife is watching right now. We will be sitting at lunch like, what should we get for dinner? And I'm like, really? You're pre-hungry? You're anticipating hunger? We're eating now. Your mind is set in your desires. So you're always thinking about the raise. You're always thinking about shopping. You're always thinking about that show that you're in the middle of because I just want to watch it. I want to see it. And it's just a desire. And all of us have so many different desires, and yet there are so many things pulling us so many places. Where is your mind? Because God said, see, this doesn't produce peace. This isn't, your desires never made the promise, as long as you pursue me, I'll keep you in peace. The promise is you gotta keep, like, you need more. You need more clothes. Because last year's fashions aren't good enough today. Last year's bag ain't good enough today. Last year's car isn't good enough today. Last year's raise isn't good enough today. And so you're just wanting more. That doesn't produce peace. That produces anxiety. Frustration, lack of gratitude, lack of thankfulness. We already said it. I come into his gates with thanksgiving. If I'm living so consumer-minded, I can't even be grateful for what I have. How many of us have closets full of stuff that one day was nice and today, like, why did I buy that again? That fit? I wore jeans that tight? Those fit? Jesus, God was faithful when I got those on. Desires. Never ending. And God is like, no. I need your mind to be set. Set. When you set something, it's placed there. Place it here. But what if something comes up? Leave it placed. But what if I go through a struggle? That's the point of placing something. So that when something goes wrong, it's in the right place already. So that it doesn't move you. When the storm comes, my mind is set. When the struggle comes, my mind is set. When sickness shows up, my mind is set. When struggle, if I lose my job, my mind is still set. My mind wasn't in the job. My mind was set in God. So this job didn't give me peace, so it can't take my peace. My mind is set on God. Where is your mind set? How many of us set our mind on relationships? You know that I think half of us have our minds set on relationships, but negative ones. I think half of us, maybe even more of us, we're more focused on the negative things in our life from relationships. The abuse, the abandoned parent, the friend that stabbed you in the... And you have placed your mind in people not even in your life anymore. You set your mind more on that dad that you haven't seen in 30 years than God. He holds more control over you today than God. That friend that hurts you, that coach that spoke nay, that coach that said, oh, you'll never, and all of a sudden you rose above and achieved, that has more weight today to some of us than setting our mind on God. So relationships, I'm not just talking about like a good one, your marriage, I'm saying people, like too many of us have placed our minds in, what else are we setting our mind on? You know where most of us place our mind? Can I be honest? Problems. Someone said money and you are right. Problems. Our culture is almost addicted to problems and we almost look to create them just to solve them, to feel worthy, to feel worth something, to feel like we achieved anything. I gotta just solve problems. But in the pursuit of solving, you just create it at the same time. Because that's what's holding your mind. It's this problem, and it's this problem, and it's this problem, and it's this, people will complain about anything. I heard someone the other day complaining about their vacation. I was like, what are we complaining about? Well, you know, it was I backed up in the travel. I'm like, really? Complaining comes too natural. You are too good at seeing issues. You ever met someone that was like, is this a gifting of yours? Is this an anointing on your life to find all the bad? You are great at this. Is this a doctorate of yours? Did you go to school for this? Did you study? Do you train every day? It's like a CrossFit, but for like negativity. You're just like, I will be negative. I will be negative today. Like, look at how strong I am. I can find problems with everything. You're doing like power clings. You're like, negative, yeah. Negative. Like, our world doesn't need more negative. Like, honestly, it's not a skill to find a problem. It's just bad. Everything's bad. Everything's fear. Fear, fear, fear. Fear, fear, fear. Fear. Be afraid of this. Someone messaged me just this week because I was traveling. I did some ministry on the side. I was in 4 different airports this week. So I was like, hey, how's TSA? I heard that because the government is shut down everywhere. I was like, no, I went to 4 airports this week. 2 of them took me 90 seconds to get through security. I just walked through. Wait, not literally walked through. Like they're like, wow, see, they're not there. You're just walking down through airports. No, they were there. A little clear pre-check. You just like scan, walk through. I was good to go. Why? Because there's this fear. Everything's falling apart in the world. Problem, 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 problem. I'm like, no, why is your mind there? I'm not saying that problems don't happen. What I'm saying is when problems happen, my mind better be with God. I got to set my mind there. So that when struggles do come, I'm not consumed by them. My mind is set on God. And catch this. So God's part is to keep. My part is to set. And why does that work? Because it reveals that I trust. Someone needs to write that down. Someone needs to remember that on Thursday, okay? Not just today. The scripture in Isaiah says, you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is set on you because he trusts. Because he trusts. Why? So God keeps if I will set. Why does that equation work? Because it reveals what or who I trust. If I keep my mind set on him, it means that I trust him. So the real question is, what or who do you trust? See, what you trust is revealing what you're hoping will produce the peace that you're after. So do you trust your boss more than God? Well, what do you think has more impact on your life, your boss or God? What do you trust more, politics, politicians, this party, that party, or God? Do you think you can have peace in your life even if politics burns to the ground? You've read the Bible, right? It doesn't feel like politics at that season of time was like great. Like they murdered Jesus publicly. And they were like, yay. That seems rough. That doesn't. And yet in that season, he's like, you can have peace. What? You're just killing people out here, Jesus. Yeah, we can still have peace. And today we're like, it's going to hell. So, can I be honest for a second? There are moments where I have to remind myself what we're going through. And I feel like I'm going to get to heaven. And when I tell like the Apostle Paul the things I came through, he'd be like, oh, that's it? Wait. That's all? That's your whole story? That was all you stressed out about. I'm like, yeah, that's all I got. He's like, wow. Like, that wasn't even like a Monday for me. That wasn't even like a week. Like sometimes I just almost feel like, God, I got to trust you more. It's not that I want bad, but there's got to be a better soldier in here. Like, there's got to be a more faithful son that says, no matter what comes at me, I'm faithful to my God no matter through it all. Like, through it all. And sometimes we get so soft. Where's your mind and what do you trust? Are you trusting politics? Economy? Are you trusting a friend, a parent, a culture? Where holds your trust? God says, place your mind. Leave it here. If you leave it here, and the trust reveals to me that there's gonna be problems. Because trust is never revealed until it's required. See, you could tell me you believe in God, but I wanna see what you do when you're sick. And you could tell me that God's your provider, but I want to see how you act when you lose your job. And you can tell me that God is a refuge, but I want to see who you run to when you're really stressed. See, it's in the struggle, it's in the battle, it's in the trial that your trust is actually revealed. It's when the storm is rocking that boat and those 12 disciples are scared and freaking out like, Jesus, where are you? And he wakes up and he's like, yo, are you? Shush, wave stop. He's like, where was your faith? Goes back to sleep probably. He's like pissed off. You messed up my nap for some waves. Where was your trust? Faith, where is your trust? I'm in the boat. When you're going through it, are you like, I'm with God in this. I'm rocking with God. So I can trust him. He is faithful. He is a refuge. He is my shelter. He is my healer. He is my provider. And I trust in him. My trust isn't in economies or in bosses or in my job. No, my trust is in God. And because your trust is in God, he will keep you in peace. Stop looking for peace in the wrong areas. Stop looking for peace where peace really can't be found. See, that's just it. You get a little sample. It's like a little Costco sample. Like just enough, you're like, oh, I kind of want that. That's delicious. That's what the world offers with peace. And the reason that they offer it that way is so that you keep coming back for more. Now you need more. Problem is your appetite continues to grow. So what once quenched that appetite, now you need more. So that one paycheck used to work, but now you need more. Now you're stressed. And that one drink used to help take the edge off, but now you need a bottle. Come on, somebody. I know. Y'all just bottling. Like, you know, when you get a big glass, you know, it's just one glass. I'm like, yeah, the whole bottle fit in that glass, though. Where is your trust? In Isaiah 26:3, can you guys put that up in the Passion Translation for me? You guys are quick. Same verse, different translation. Perfect, absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you. Imaginations. I love this translation because when you study that in the Greek, that word mind, actually most of the time it's actually translated imagination. I think it's a truer translation to use the word imagination than to use the word mind. And so when we read this verse, it says, God will keep me in peace when my imagination is set on him. Because it's actually your imagination that's producing the life that you live. How many of us live in anxiety because of the what ifs we've already thought out? What if I lose my job? What if my kid gets sick? What if my spouse does this? What if that friend leaves me? What if, what if, what if? And we are living in a self-created world of fear because of our imaginations. Okay, I'll take you one second. How many of you married people have gotten upset at your spouse because of a conversation you had in your own head? And you can't tell your spouse why you're mad at them because it didn't actually happen. You're just irritated. Like, why are you irritated? Nothing. No worries. You're like, but are you good? Yeah. Yeah, we're good. You're like sideways all day to him. You probably don't care, but what are you talking about? You're always like that. What? I'm so confused right now. They didn't hear the conversation. You made it up in your head and then got mad at them for it. Or one better. You ever had a dream? You had like a dream. You wake up and you're like, I knew they were going to do that. They'd sell me out. I'm like, what? That's what God wants. He wants that imagination of yours. Let me ask you a question. How do you think your life would feel if God held your imagination? Because thoughts produce feelings. How you think. See, so that's why the world is so inundating you with fear, because they want you to control how you think to get you to feel how they want you to feel, to get you to vote and follow how they want you to vote and follow. If you could start to control how you think and how you imagine, and if you could, okay, let's go back to this imagination and trust. When you feel sick, where do you go? Jesus or Google? You're like, I feel sick. Oh my gosh, I died yesterday. It says I died yesterday. It says I'm dead. It says I've been dead for 12 hours. This is crazy. Oh my goodness. You're acting like I'm the only one. You're laughing because you've done it. You're up in WebMD and Google. You, How many of y'all have ChatGPT'd your symptoms? Like, oh my goodness, it's worse than I thought. It's worse. Why? Because you're imagining. You're creating. This word imagination, let me give it to you just so you could believe that I actually looked it up. This Greek word, look at me needing my notes for once. Praise God. Yester is the Greek word used for mind, but most often is actually translated imagination. Yester, it means shaping clay or to form or to mold or even to fashion. This idea, because a lot of these words come with symbols and imagery. And so it wants you to make sure that you can see that imagination is connected to a potter creating. See, if you trusted God with your imagination and you let him be the potter that forms how your world looks, I bet it's going to look good. But if you let Twitter form how you daydream, if you let the news form how your life looks, if you let your past, if you let your failures, if you let your fears get their hands on your imagination, how do you think your future looks? Bleak, hopeless, lost. That's why so many of us are looking for peace, because we formed our future with using the hands of fear. And God is like, no, give me your imagination so that I can allow you to see things the way I want you to see them, to live the way I want you to live, to hope how I want you to hope, to endure that fire the way I've called you to overcome that battle, to get through that struggle. Let me form it. Let me hold your imagination. Here, go to Colossians 3, verse 1. Here, Ben, why don't you guys come to the stage? Colossians 3, I want to read the beginning of this passage. I'm going to go to the end of it. This is a whole passage that Paul is writing us. It goes, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. If you're with Jesus, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, if you're a Jesus follower, that's what he's saying. That's who he's talking to. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Now catch this, set your minds, set them. Like, don't come back to it. Don't hold your mind and be like, well, this issue I'll go here, and then this issue I'll go here, and then this struggle I'll go here, and then this issue. No, set it. Lock it in. Pour a foundation. When I go through struggles, my mind is set on God. When I get sick, my mind is set on God. When I have a victory, my mind is set on God. When my kids go through struggles, my mind is set on God. When the world starts to collapse, my mind is set on God. No matter what I go through, my mind has already been preset. I poured a foundation around it. I don't get to move it. It's set. It's set. You know when the foundation of a home sets, you don't get to move that. You don't move that. It's set. Paul is saying, set your mind. Frame it in. Pour some concrete so that when you want to move it, you can't. Like, no, it shows. It's God. It's God or bust. Set your mind. Here, throw this back up. On the things above, not on the things of this earth. And then at the end of this passage, Paul sums it up by saying, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Why? Because when I set my mind, his peace rules. When I'm not running from thing to thing, new fad, new trend to new trend, new politics, new fear, new issue, new program. No, my mind is set. Now, there are problems, there are struggles in the world, and I will approach those with a set mind. I'm not saying to ignore things. I'm not saying to play stupid. I'm not saying to bury your head in the sand. I'm not saying that this world doesn't matter. I'm not saying that there aren't issues that Christians should speak into. What I'm saying is you should speak into them when your mind is set on God, not when they hold your mind. Set your mind. Now, here's what I want you to see in this passage. He goes, look up. Set your mind up. Set your eyes up. Look to Jesus. Look to the things that are above. Why does that matter so much? Because it's not just what you see, it's how you see what you see. It's not just what you see, it's how you see what you see. See, perspective matters for your vision. See, if you the type of perspective you hold defines how you see what you see. I could look at someone in the room and I could define what I see. I see glasses or not, hat or not, shirt. But if I ask the person that sits right behind you, that person's closer to you. But because they're behind you, if they described you, they would describe something different. Why? Because they're seeing the same person, but they're seeing that person from a different perspective. So we see the same thing, and yet we don't see the same thing. Paul is telling us in this passage, would you start seeing things the way God sees them? Look up. See from his perspective. See from his vantage point. There's a story in the Old Testament of Joseph, who was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, who went on to be the people of Israel. He was sold into slavery. He had a dream, though. A great dream to be a leader, to be a ruler. And he finds himself as a slave. And then he finds himself in prison. If he would have been looking through his own lens and evaluating his life the way he saw it, he would have thought he was done with. He was over. He was lost. But because he kept trusting God, remember, he keeps, if I set my mind, why? Because I trust. Joseph had peace as a slave, he had peace as a prisoner, and he ultimately reached his dreams that God had him. Why? Because he kept trusting and he had the ability to see from God's perspective. There's a story in the Old Testament of three boys that wouldn't bow and worship the king. The king says, listen, if you don't bow to me, if you don't worship me, I'm gonna throw you in a fire. But they saw a different perspective. Everyone else saw a tyrant and they saw God. So I said, we're not gonna bow to you because we see it different. Throw us in if you want. When they got thrown in the fire, Jesus was there waiting for them. It's another story of a young man that wouldn't pray to the king. And the king said, if you don't pray to me, I'm throwing you in a lion's den. He goes, doesn't matter. Throw me where you want. I see it different. God was waiting for him in the lion's den. David walks up to a giant, a man of war. All of Israel, all they saw was a soldier that was twice the size of every other man. Had a spear and a sword, a man of war, the Bible says. It goes, no, 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 we can't mess with that guy. David saw something different, though. See, everyone saw the giant, but only David saw victory. Jesus saw a cross. Most of the people saw death. He saw victory. Everyone saw the same thing, but they didn't because Jesus saw something that they didn't see. You see, I'm not telling you to be ignorant. I'm not telling you to bury your head in the sand. I'm saying you need to see it the way Jesus sees it. You need to trust Jesus in the storm. Trust him in the cancer. Trust him in the heartbreak. Trust him in the loss. Trust him in the struggle. If you start seeing things through Jesus' lens, all of a sudden you'll start to see the victories and you'll see you can overcome and you'll see that he's a provider and you'll see that he's a healer and you'll see that you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and he is still with you. I can see that the city wants this land. I can see that they want to build some garage here. But I could also see that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And I could also see that God is greater. I can also see that what the enemy meant for evil, God is going to use for our good. I can also see that we are going to take this mountain and reach this city and reach this state. Why? Because what everyone else sees might look bad, but when I'm looking through the lens of God, all I see is a victory. And I see us overcoming. And I see us rising up. And I see a church that's a lighthouse and a hope. And I see a city set on a hill when the world is going to hell, we need to stand up and have some peace and say, I see it different. I see it with hope. I see life. I see victory. I see health. I see my marriage lasting. I see my children making it. I see that Jesus has a plan and a purpose for my life. I see it a little different than you. Jesus is not promising a life with no struggles, but he is promising some victories on the other side of your struggles. How do you see what you see? I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me today. I remember sitting in a hospital room, hearing cancer. I've sat in lawyers' offices saying they're going to take your church. I've sat in counseling rooms after counseling rooms, hearing people's heartbreaking stories. I'm not telling you it's easy, but I am telling you that if you trust God, if you will set your mind, God is faithful. And sometimes you can't see a healing God until you're sick. And sometimes you can't see a providing God until you need something. And sometimes you can't see a victory until you first see a Goliath. But I'm telling you, if you set your mind, he will keep. He keeps me in peace. My job, trust. His job, peace. I trust, he keeps. I trust, he keeps. If you're looking for peace, you're trying to do the wrong job. You're attempting to do God's part. I just need you to do yours. You trust he'll bring the peace.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app, or go to the website at christianfaith.us.